I want to say welcome to all of you, Boone's Mill Church family and friends, and you that are visiting. We want to say welcome to you. We're so glad and delighted that you're here. We have people out in their cars in the drive-in experience. We have others that are in designated Sunday school rooms where they do not have to wear a mask because of breathing difficulties. And so we're hoping that we're able to be inviting and hospitable to everyone's need. If you're here in the sanctuary, we're simply requesting that you wear a mask and that you do social distancing from families. And so, again, I just want to say welcome to everyone out in the cars and the Sunday school rooms here in the sanctuary. We're so glad that you have come to join us in our celebration of worship today. Now, as we begin this first message in this series, I want you to complete these common American phrases with me. You know, I'm going to say part of a phrase, and then I'm going to pause, and I want you to fill in the rest of that phrase. You ready? Here it goes. If it sounds too good to be true, there's no such thing as a free lunch. There is no gain without pain. God helps those who help themselves. Now, these phrases come out of the American culture, out of our society. Everything about the American way of life teaches you that you get what you earn in life. You make your bed, and therefore you have to lay in it. We value work and sweat and effort and performance and winning. We tell people, you get what you deserve in life. And if you want to make something of your life, it's up to you. That's called the American work ethics. And it's good in some ways. The only problem is it causes a difficulty in us relating to God because God does not relate to us primarily on performance. God does not relate to us based on our effort, our work, our ethics, or how much we try. And if you heard the reading of the scripture this morning from Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, God is gracious. The Bible says that God is a gracious God. That means God loves to bless people who don't deserve it. Now, we have a problem with someone getting something for no effort on their part. We resent that. We think it's unfair. But that's God's nature to bless people who don't deserve it. Aren't you glad for that? I know I certainly am. God is gracious. Now, you can't understand the Christian life at all unless you understand grace. It is the heart of our faith. It is the heart of our relationship to God. When you understand grace, you're going to feel closer to God. The more you understand grace, the more you're going to be drawn to God. The more you're going to love God, and the more you're going to be grateful to God. It is by grace that God brings us to Himself. And the Bible says that everything in your life is a gift of grace. God has given you the gift of life at this very moment. God is breathing in your lungs the breath of life, and that's why you're alive. Now, He doesn't have to do this. It's His grace. It's His gift. The Bible is very clear about the gift of grace. That God saves us by grace. God blesses us by grace. God teaches us through grace. God uses us by grace. God keeps us growing spiritually by grace. God takes us to heaven by grace. Everything in life that's good is a gift of God's grace. Now, as I said earlier, you can't understand the Christian life at all unless you understand grace. It is the heart of our faith. It is the heart of our relationship to God. And so today, as we're beginning this new series that I'm calling All Have Sinned, But There's Grace. So today, as we begin, I want us to look at what is grace. There are many, many definitions of grace. Grace is like a multifaceted diamond. It has many sides and shapes, and no one definition could adequately describe it. So let me share only a few definitions. Grace is God's love in action. Grace is when God gives me what I need, not what I deserve. Grace is anything I desperately need that I don't deserve and I couldn't pay for it, but God gives it to me anyway. Grace is the faith that God puts on when He looks at our failures and responds in a gracious way. It's hard to describe grace. It's hard to define it. Many people confuse grace with mercy. There are two different things. Mercy is when God doesn't give you what you deserve. When you do something wrong, you deserve punishment. When you don't get that, that's mercy. Have you ever done anything wrong? I don't see any hands, so I suppose we're all in the same boat. You deserve punishment for doing wrong. But when God gives you what you, when God doesn't give you what you deserve, that's called mercy. On the other hand, when God gives you what you don't deserve, when God gives you a blessing, that's grace. All the good things in your life you didn't earn, you didn't merit receiving, they were just gifts of blessings. God gave them to you. That's called grace. Today I want you to experience grace. I want you to feel loved by God, because that's a gift. And that's grace. I want you to experience and feel God's unconditional grace. So what is grace? And more importantly, in this message this morning, what is saving grace? Now, I want to speak to you this morning and look at five aspects of saving grace. And I want to build this message and this learning around an acrostic. G-R-A-C-E. Grace. An acrostic is it's a word that each letter in the word describes something about the meaning of the word. And so I want us to go through those 5 points. The first one, the first letter in grace is G. God's gift to me. How do you experience saving grace? You let God give it to you. Now, you might say, wait a minute, Pastor Jerry. Before I can get into heaven, don't I have to be nice? Don't I have to be good? Don't I at least have to try to do good and make sure I do more good in my life than I do bad? Well, that's the way Most of the world thinks one approaches God, that you've got to be acceptable. Here's the problem. You can't be good enough. It's not going to happen. The Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says there's only one way to approach God, and it's by the gift of God. It's by God's grace. You could never earn to be good enough to approach God. You could never learn what to do. You could never buy it. You could never work enough to deserve it. You couldn't get enough brownie points or credits to be good enough to come into God's presence. There's no chance you're going to make it into God's embrace except by accepting God's free gift of grace. Now, the Bible says this in Romans 11. If it is by grace, then it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. That just means that you can't earn it, you can't do anything, it's just God's gift. And it's a free gift to me. The Bible says that the way you get to know God and have a relationship with Him, the way you have your sins forgiven and get into heaven is by accepting what already has been done for you. And what's that? And who did it? Jesus Christ. You accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago for you. What is your part in salvation? It's kind of ironic. You know what your part in salvation is? To get lost. And that's the easy part. We do that without even trying. Pretty easy to get lost. But it's God's part to find you and to save you. Your only part is simply accepting that fact that you're already lost. You're already out of the grace of God on your own. You need to accept that it was done for you, and that's called grace through Jesus Christ. That's God's gift to you. In Romans 3:24, it says, all of us needs to be made right with God. How? By His grace, which is a free gift through Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24. That is the best gift you're ever going to be offered. There is no better gift than that. You see, the letter G in the word grace in this acrostic, G-R-A-C-E, the G stands for gift. All right, the letter R, received by faith. How do you experience saving grace? You receive it by faith. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't deserve it. You don't do a bunch of things to get God's grace. God gives grace, and it's received by faith. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. That means even the faith you have is given as a gift from God. God gives you the faith to believe in Him. Even faith comes from God. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, the Bible is full of stories illustrating God's grace. There's the story of the Good Samaritan, who helps this guy who's stranded on the side of the road, who has been beaten and he's helpless, and there's no way that this man could repay the Samaritan. There's the story of this prostitute whom Jesus forgave and then defended her publicly. She didn't deserve it. Absolutely not. So what was going on? What was Jesus doing? He was demonstrating grace. One of the most famous ones is the story of the lost son, or the prodigal son. You know, this father had, he had two boys, and one day the younger one says, "Hey, Dad, I'm leaving this boring town. I want half of the family inheritance right now, because I'm out of here." So he takes half of the family inheritance, he leaves, and he moves to a foreign country, and he wastes his life on wine and women and indulgences. And after a series of months, he's blown it all. He's out of luck, out of money. And he ends up feeding pigs at a pig farm. He hits the bottom, broke and busted. Flat on his back, he's thinking, "Why am I here? I know I blew it. I know it's all my fault, what has happened to me." So he says to himself, "You know, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to say, 'Dad, listen, I know I blew it. And I admit it. I wasted half the family inheritance. I do not deserve to be called your son. But just hire me as a slave or servant, and I'll work for you for the rest of my life, because even your servants live better than I'm living now.'" And the boy says, "Yes, that's what I'm going to do." And so he goes back home. And as the son is walking down the driveway toward the home, the father sees him at a distance. And he recognizes him. And he takes off running. And he's running toward his son. And he doesn't treat him the way he deserves. Instead, he gives him this giant bear hug and kisses him. And he weeps and he celebrates. And he tells his servants, he says, "Go get the best robe in the house and bring it here and put it on my son." He doesn't say, "Oh, look at you, what you've done." He doesn't say, "You need to go get your act together." He doesn't say, "You need to repay back me what you took from me." He doesn't do that. He doesn't lecture him. He doesn't give him a sermon. He just hugs him and weeps. And unconditionally, he says, "Bring out the best for my son. Bring the family ring. Kill the calf for a barbecue. We're going to have a party. My lost son has been found." That story is to say, that's how God responds to you when you go astray. And then you come home. Now, did you notice that the Bible says that they have a party in heaven every time one person accepts the grace of God? I wonder, will there be a party in heaven today? I think there will be for those who accept the grace of God, who hears the voice of God today, who realizes that God is calling them home today. Yes, there's going to be a party if you will listen, if you will hear, and you will respond. The letter R in the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, the letter R stands for receive. Now the letter A. It's available to everyone. How do you experience saving grace? It is available to you. It's available to everyone. What does that mean? It means that God doesn't play favorites like we often do. We often put some people in one category and some in another. We accept some and some we reject and all of this kind of thing. But God doesn't do that. Regardless of your status, regardless of your background, regardless of your sins you've committed, God loves you unconditionally. God's grace is available for you. And that's the good news. It's not just for the people of promise, the Jewish people, the people that we often read that God had chosen a special people. It's for all of us. All of us can come to God in the same way, through faith in the grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's available to everyone. Does that mean black people? Yes. Does that mean white people? Yes. Does that include tall and short people? Yes. Does that include dumb people as well as smart people? Yes. Does that include rich people and poor people? Yes. Every race and every ethnic background? Yes. It means everybody. It means you. It means me. Grace is available to us all. Without grace, you don't have any relationship with God. It is the heart of Christianity. It is the heart of following Christ and being a believer. No matter what you've done and no matter who you are, God's grace is available to you. So the letter A in grace stands for available. The letter C, it comes through Christ. How do you experience saving grace? Through Jesus Christ. That's the only place it's available. It comes through Jesus Christ, God's Son. In Acts 15:12, it says, "We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved." Why through Christ? Why does grace only come through Christ? Because He's the one who paid for it. Grace is free, but it is not cheap. And it cost Christ His life. It cost God His own Son. And that's how much He loves you. Saving grace comes through Jesus Christ and what He did for you. In Romans 5:15, it says, "Many people have received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ." There's a phrase used of people in the Bible who have accepted God's grace. It's called being in Christ. Anybody who has accepted the forgiveness of God, who has accepted the grace of God, who has accepted the salvation of God, is called, in the Bible, in Christ. And that phrase is used over 120 times in the Bible. And what does that mean, to be in Christ? Well, let me give you an illustration. For people out in the car, you won't be able to see this. Only people here in the sanctuary can see this, but I'm holding up a sheet of paper. And in this piece of paper, I want it to represent your life. And I want this Bible to represent Jesus Christ. So as we go through life, we make a lot of mistakes. And I'm tearing this paper because that's what happens to us when we mess up, when we make mistakes. Our life gets torn. Our life gets not put together the way it's supposed to be. And we blow it. And people hurt us. And so more rips in the paper, more tears in our life is happening. And so we have some relationships that go sour. And our life gets messed up. It gets torn. It gets hurt. It gets broken. And we do all kinds of stupid things and make bad decisions, and soon our lives, it's not just torn, but it's in bad shape because our life is all mashed in a way that it wasn't supposed to be. It's in a mess. There's areas in our lives that no way can we straighten it out and put it back together like it was once before. And this happens to us, and things we do and other things that we do bad to other people, it causes our life to be all messed up and torn up and crumpled. It's not a pretty sight. It's not able to be used as it was intended to. It's not able to be what God created it to be. And the Bible says that when we're in this mess, in this shape, and we come to God, and we say to God, I want to accept your grace and your Son, Jesus Christ, that God takes our messed up life and our torn life and our broken life, and He puts that life in Jesus. And so for you there in the cards, I just put this piece of torn up paper in my Bible, meaning I put my life represented by the torn paper into the Bible, which represents the life of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that when you're in Christ, you're absorbed in Him, you're hidden in Him, you are in who He is. And when we're in Christ, you don't see the scars, you don't feel the scars, you don't see the problems, you don't feel the hurt in the same way, you don't see the mistakes and imperfection. No, all you see when I'm in Christ is Christ's love and Christ's grace. And that's the way it is when you accept the grace of God. You look at your life and you see the mess, the scars, the things that's ripped you up. You see all the things that you were ashamed of, but when you're in Christ and God looks at you and all the mistakes and all the things that you've done, God looks at you with the eyes of grace. And He sees not all that mess in your life, but now He sees not your imperfection. He sees Jesus Christ. He sees you as if He is seeing Christ. So when you are in Christ, all God sees is how Jesus Christ has already paid for all those things and mistakes and hurts and scars and made you new again. I don't know how to say it any clearer than that. There is nothing that you will ever do that you could ever possibly do that will make God love you more than He does right now. And there is nothing you could ever do that will ever make God love you any less than He does right now. Why? Because His love is not based on your performance or your ability, what you can do. It's based on His promise of grace. It's not on your merit, but it's on His mercy. It's not on your goodness, but it's on the grace of Jesus Christ. And that is what the grace of God is for. There is no therapy in the world. There is no pill. There is no book. There is no seminar that can make changes in your life that you need to be perfect before God. Only the grace of God can change you. And that is done when you are in Jesus Christ. The letter C in the word grace stands for comes to you. And here's the last letter and the last thing I want to share with you today. The letter E and the acrostic grace. It is extended through eternity. How do you experience saving grace? The Bible says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Now that's the bad news. The good news is that the rest of the verse, that the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, did you hear the word eternal in that verse? That is the results that will last forever. You might say grace is the gift that keeps on giving. It never stops. When you get to know Jesus Christ and His grace and love, it gets better and better and better. It is available and extended through eternity. And the best is yet to come. The Bible promises that. But there's a catch. The catch is, you have to act on what you hear. You have to accept it. You must accept God's grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God's waiting today for you to accept His gift. He's calling you today. Do you hear His voice? Do you hear the Spirit? He's saying, come home. So how do you experience saving grace? G, let God give it to you. It's a gift. R, you receive it by faith. Can't earn it. A, it's available to everyone, regardless of your sins, because God loves you. C, it comes through Jesus Christ. And there is no other way. And E, it is given to you forever and ever. God never stops calling for you. Do you hear? Would you pray with me? Oh God, I need to ask our beloved people, do they hear the voice of You calling them today? For God, You say, I see every stupid thing You've ever done and I still love You. And God wants to wrap His arms around you and say, You matter to me more than anything in this world. God's grace is available to you right now and right here. And there's no reason to delay. Maybe this is the reason God brought you here today. What are you waiting on? I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer in your heart right now. Dear God, I am so grateful that You love me. I realize that I could never be perfect enough to earn a place in Your kingdom. I realize that the only way I'll get in is by Your grace. Forgive me for thinking I could be good enough. Thank You that You give me what I need, not what I deserve. Jesus Christ, thank You for paying for my forgiveness and for my salvation on the cross. I don't understand it all, and I don't know all about how You did it, but that's not important. What's important is that I accept Your free gift and Your grace today. I want You to guide my life from this day forward. I want to spend the rest of my life telling as many people as possible about the good news of Your grace, that we can be forgiven for our past and we can have a purpose in the present and we can have a home in heaven in the future. God, make a way for me to experience Your saving grace. I come to You now and I surrender. And I thank You. I thank You. I thank You. And it is in Your name, Jesus, that I pray.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. young.